fucking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
You know the words.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
That's it, see.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. I'm Woody.
That's what I used to write on all my Toy Story comic books. Right. Mr. Shark, he makes fun of Woody, and then he comes out of the toy box wearing his hat, and he goes, howdy, 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 I'm Woody. And so I would make Woody say, howdy, howdy, howdy. He's like, oh, Shark, I thought that was funny. What's up, guys? It's me, the coolest geek alive, Jesse Blaze Snyder. How are you doing, my coolest geeks? I hope you're doing good out there. It's been a tumultuous time in so many people's lives that I know. So if you're out there and things have been less than stellar, Care Bear stare to you all. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks so much for coming back and making our show a thing. Been thinking about doing this like on YouTube in the near future, where, like, you know, there'll be a video version of this as well, and trying to expand, you know, more and be able to get into the conversation with so many of the people who I like to watch over there. You know, I can podcast and I can do the YouTube thing because I like YouTube, and I know a lot of people do their podcasting on YouTube, and it'd be fun to kind of mix it up with some of those people who I love and invite them on my show, and maybe do like a Friday show where I can have my friend Aaron Sparrow be my co-host, and he and I can have buddies on to talk about all sorts of cool geek culture shit that's going on. Because there's so many things that I'd love to talk about, you know, Johnny on the spot as it's happening. But I don't want this show to turn into that kind of thing. So, you know, I've been trying to make it, I only come in and say something about the culture in general when I really feel like there's something I want to say. And this Ghostbusters movie that I just saw really made me feel like I had something I wanted to say. Because it's such a weird one. I'm going to try not to, I'm going to kind of spoil some stuff. I mean, here or there, you know, on some levels, just cause I'm going to talk about it intellectually on a lot of different levels. I mean, I'm not going to get into so many of the specific details of the plot, but you know, there may be a thing or two that gets spoiled. Suffice to say, it is Ghostbusters in name only. And by that, I mean, Ghostbusters is three of the biggest comedians at the time, you know, one as a writer, you know, but Harold Ramis, you know, he was in Spies Like Us as well, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and they were thinking about Ernie Hudson's part being played by Eddie Murphy, but they decided that was too much, and, you know, and probably rightly so. And we love Ernie Hudson, so great. But Ghostbusters is a rooted comedy. The comedy is subtle and folded in and not vaudeville and over the top and silly, as we saw in the Ghostbusters remake, which just got the tone all wrong. You know, like that Ghostbusters film could have been perfectly fine with me if it was in the spirit of the Ghostbusters films, but it was just sort of like a silly thing. This is a silly thing. And I know it has its fans, and you know, and I'm like, I don't hate it, similar to how I like this movie a lot better, and I like these two films that they've made a lot better. I like the previous one better because it was a segue into something, but what it has segued into is a Ghostbusters family, and like, I don't fucking understand, like who ordered this hamburger? Send it back. Like, I ordered a Ghostbusters movie. What did you put on it? Why is there a family of Ghostbusters? Like, I understand that you established a family in the last one, and Phoebe in this one is making jokes the whole time about how her mother shouldn't even be there. She shouldn't even be there. Her mother should be the new Janine. her mother should be answering the phone. We didn't have a Janine. Who gets to be the Janine? Mom, be the Janine. And mom the whole time can be going, I want to be a Ghostbuster. You can go, Mom, answer the phone. Like, that would have been fucking fun. I'm rewriting the movie for myself right now. That would have been great. Janine, answer the fucking phone. I'm not Janine. I'm your mom. You're the new Janine, Mom. Answer the phone. That shit would have been fucking awesome. There's so many weird things. And I do have to call out that they put a chick in it and they made her gay. There's this ghost chick that's in the movie. And there's just like some low-key vibes going on. I mean, let's just say that Finn Wolfhard and the black girl that was with the braids, who I liked in the last movie, but in this movie, she just doesn't really have anything to do. And she's just kind of like ancillary. Everybody's like ancillary to other characters that could be done better. But like the ghost chick and Phoebe have way more vibes than Wolfhard and that girl do. And they had a relationship that started in the last movie. And now it's like, yeah, whatever. But very central to the plot is the Phoebe ghost chick, relationship, which is fine. It's all good. I mean, like it didn't really bother me, but it is funny, and I should warn you, just because now it's become a joke, you know. So when you see it, you're like, aha, they did the thing, they put a chick in it, and they made her gay. it's just, you know, Matt, it's just cool. It's cool to be gay, you know. It's like chic. There's a lot of power in it. Because people used to ask me if I was gay, and I used to get very upset about it when I was a kid, because I was like, I'm like, by nature, pretty straight. but nowadays I go, well, you never know. But no one's broke me yet. But then sometimes it makes the gay guys come on to you really hard. And then you got to be like, all right, like, I've already decided, you know, now. Like, you got to use the line to go like, you know, when you walk into the room, you know, like, I know whether or not I want to fuck you. And it's just, no, you know, like I said, it's never happened. I don't think it's going to happen. I've never seen one. I've never seen one I wanted to fuck. Only the women. But sometimes maybe the, you know, in the Korean, some of these, no, I'm just kidding. So many people get so uncomfortable about these kind of conversations, and I'm so sorry if I'm making you uncomfortable out there. But I mean, it really is, it is like a mark of strength to not be uncomfortable about the conversation. Like, I'm really very straight. Like, that's I like women. But you got to be able to, like, it can't be such a hot button that it's like bothering you, making it you uncomfortable. And if it is, it's something that you got to just think about a little bit and process, because, like, you know, you shouldn't be so uncomfortable. You know, some people, what's the thing? Like, everybody's like, I can't think of the saying that is on the tip of my tongue, but, you know, it's not one size fits all. It's the opposite of that. You know, everybody's their own thing. Like me, like, I'm like, I present myself pretty masculine when I like walk around in the world, but I'm a pretty feminine kind of guy. I'm a creative guy. And I like really tough chicks. I've always liked really like strong energy, and, you know, strong energy, but like feminine, really, you know, beautiful girls. But like, I like them to be strong. It's important for me, like, in the girls that I look for, you know. And different people are different, and they look at, you know, think the world different way, and that doesn't matter, and it shouldn't make you uncomfortable. And if it does, like, you know, you should be like, why is this making me uncomfortable? So, like, sorry if I did. But I find it so funny, because I got gay bashed for my band Dilf USA a while ago. It was really funny. I think I talked about it in another show, but we did a show where we do a fuck, marry, kill game with some of the celebrity rock stars who will come and like do a couple songs with us. And somebody left like really pissed off and sent letters to everybody. And he sent me this letter where he bleeped himself out. And I read it a few months later and I thought it was the most funny thing because he was like bleeping all of his curse words. He's cussing me out and censoring himself. And it took so long to censor himself. There was so many marks for each. Like there was some complicated censoring going on. And I was just like, wow, this really took a long fucking time. I just started laughing. And I actually wrote a song that's like my message back to him where I'm like telling him like I want to bang him and I don't want to bang him, but you know, like that's the thing, like there's a lot of power in that when people are like insecure about it. So like don't let people have power over you in that way. Get over it, whatever. Anyway, there is a gay chick in the Ghostbusters movie. It's they don't go that far, but it's that trope. And But the real main thing of it is just this family aspect that they have. They've got Paul Rudd in the budding father position and even end with a moment that, as I was just talking to Aaron on the phone, and he and I both said, you know, the end, he mentioned it, but the dad, they say dad, and he's like all choked up. They called me dad. And they want you to be like all choked up and like, oh, they called him dad and stuff. But it really like falls flat because we didn't order this hamburger. We didn't order this Ghostbusters movie. We didn't want a Ghostbusters family. And it's silly. Like, you know, they've got this dude who's Kumani Nanjiani. He's one of the Eternals guys. Come on, give a jam, give a Johnny. That guy, and he's great, and he's got like fire powers in the movie. It's really cool. That's a little spoiler, but he's really great. And then they got this replacement Egon in like this separate big lab that Ernie Hudson's working on, that is being assisted by the black girl. I'm sorry, I don't know her name. The one with the braids. And again, like she's not really given very much to do. So it's like, it's kind of, I liked her in the last movie, but it's kind of like a bummer for her. Cause it's kind of useless what she's doing, or at least for the sake of the movie. But there's like a replacement Egon who's subtle and cool. And, you kind of like replacement Egon and you really like Firebender, Jumanji. Sorry for making myself laugh. And then you've also got Paul Rudd, who's great. I mean, Paul Rudd's great in fucking anything. And he's, you know, great in this and does good things with what he's given. And I'm not shit talking this movie. I'm gonna get into the depths of like just how this is just not fucking Ghostbusters. Those two guys, replacement Egon, Kumajani, and then Paul Rudd as a third, and Ernie Hudson or Dan Aykroyd or whatever, or like there's that could be the Ghostbusters, and the kids could be working under, and they're trying to squirrel their way in, and you know, those rascals, they want to be adults but they can't be adults, and you know, and there's like a Ghostbuster school going on, and she's the mom's the receptionist, and like, you know, that could have worked. That would have felt more like freaking Ghostbusters. And this doesn't. And it just doesn't feel like Ghostbusters. It just feels like some other thing. And I don't know. I kind of like it, I guess. But I don't like it the way I liked Ghostbusters. And that's a shame. And, you know, like, this is like the best that you get in this thing of making, reviving geek culture monoliths. And getting them all wrong, like, you know, like just like reworking them like a Frankenstein with other parts until they aren't the thing anymore. And a family of Ghostbusters, as is presented in this movie, I mean, literally, it's like the mom and the dad and the two kids in the Ecto-1 driving around. And then there were, like, other contingents. There was, like, you know, some of the old guys showed up. You know, Bill Murray shows up in some very small fashions. Nothing really great or satisfying. The Dan Aykroyd stuff's great. You know, Dan Aykroyd loves this stuff, and he's giddy to be doing more Ghostbusters, and that was great. And Ernie Hudson was really great, and Annie Potts was actually really great. I mean, everybody was really generally fine, but a lot of the characters just didn't have anything to do because there was just so many fucking characters. And the way it was organized, and I'm talking about, like, as a writer, right? I'm looking at this, and they've literally got, like, three groups that they have to show, like, in the end in order to you sort of wrap everything up. And instead of giving, like, these nine characters or more, possibly, what is it? It's a family of four, and then it's Bill Murray, and it's Dan Aykroyd, and it's Ernie Hudson, and it's Annie Potts, and it's the new Egon, and it was the Firebender guy. So that's 10 people, okay? So 10 people were broken into, like, three groups. And instead of, like, you know, all these people having individual kind of things to do or whatever, there was, like, there were like, three of them, you know, that you would see them at a time in a cluster. Here's these three and here's these three, so that they could all be there. It was just shots of them all together. And it didn't necessarily, again, you know, make a lot of sense. It's just like all these Ghostbusters, it was amigos everywhere, when there could have been Ghostbusters and there could have been the junior Ghostbusters, and, you know, who were learning to be like they just sort of, like, bamped up the kid Ghostbusters too fast, and in doing that, all and made the mom a Ghostbuster for no fucking reason, and even upgraded, you know, Paul Rudd to being a Ghostbuster, you know, too fast to some degree, you know. And when it should have been, like, Ernie Hudson putting together his team of Ghostbusters, and, like, you know, it's like him and Dan Aykroyd leading a new team, you know, and Paul Rudd's, like, the new recruit, and they got this Manjani guy, you know, he's got the firebending thing, he's scared, he's gonna be the new ghost, but, like, that would have been fucking great. And I'm probably fucking it up, like, really terribly. I don't know. I like him. I just have a hard time with his name. Ghostbusters. I'm looking it up so that I won't do this anymore. Respect to the man. Okay. I'm looking at it now, and I'm nervous to say it. Kumail Nanjiani? Kumail Nanjiani. All right. I'm going to move on from saying his name. Okay. So, Ghostbusters. Yeah. It's just, if you're going to make a Ghostbusters film, there's a certain thing that we're looking for. And ultimately, when it comes to the Ghostbusters, it's give us some comedians in their primes doing great comedic work in a grounded universe where it's a good thing the Ghostbusters were around despite their detractors. That's Ghostbusters. This family of Ghostbusters thing, it's like, it's just a different thing. And they could have had this element in there and still had it feel like the Ghostbusters, but right now it does not. And this has been happening with all of these different franchises. We've got Star Wars. And Star Wars, it took a second for this to really happen. I think you see it taking a new shape when you get to Ahsoka, and them opening up the veil and bringing in the witches, and you know, the beginnings of what it seems like they may be doing now with, like, even actually with the Mandalorian, like, you know, they set up a show and a premise, and now in the third season, it's Mandalorian in name only, because now it's a Bo-Katan show, and now Grogu's back, even though narratively it doesn't make any sense for Grogu to be back, and he's a side character in his own show on the Mandalorian. In Star Trek is really the worst example of this. Star Trek, since Star Trek Discovery, it started with these three Star Trek films. The three Star Trek films are very well done and are exciting renditions of Star Wars themed stories that ultimately do not break the world of Star Trek, but are not exactly honoring Gene Roddenberry's vision. The series that follows, Star Trek Discovery, which I'm a big fan of a YouTuber named Doomcock, who's an anonymous scooper online, but it's because I know he's a real fan because of various things that he says and how he feels about what has been done to Star Trek, because I feel the same way. Star Trek is my favorite property or whatever, next to the Muppets. But it's my favorite science fiction property because it's the only one that shows a positive vision of the future. And Star Trek Discovery is essentially based on the premise of Star Trek having a black ops program, the Federation having a black ops program, that nothing has changed on planet Earth, that the humans are just as deceitful and fucking lying bastards as they've ever been, and they have a secret dark program, and the thing, and like, you know, the shit's real. Like, fuck you. It was Alex Kurtzman. Oh my god, like a heart through the I mean, an arrow through the heart of the fandom is what you've done right there. No, the Federation of Planet is pure good. They are exploring the Prime Directive, all these things. That is what Star Trek is. Everything that has been done since Star Trek Discovery, as far as I'm concerned, is Star Trek in name only. Also, you've got Marvel. The Captain Marvel movie that they made, the first one, is Captain Marvel in name only. Captain Marvel becomes Captain Marvel years after being Miss Marvel, getting her powers from Captain Marvel, who is a Kree warrior, who is a major superhero. This is like a classic graphic novel called, I think it's just called The Death of Captain Marvel, that they should have freaking based that movie on and had him like bequeath the title to her and whatever else at the end. He is played by Annette Bening in the simulation that she's in their weird ass adaptation that they did of that film. I do not understand why they did any of that shit the way they did it. It's Captain Marvel in name only. That the Marvels movie is nothing. It's a Marvel entertainment creation. The Doctor Strange film and the Multiverse of Madness, him hanging out with America Chavez, it's Doctor Strange in name only. Those two characters do not hang out together. She's wrong for his idiom. He might show up in her world, but she doesn't go with him to his. They don't have a relationship, or at least they did not in any traditional way, shape, or form. That was more Marvel Entertainment doing what Marvel Entertainment is doing. Eternals, visually at the very least, I think thematically they did a decent job adapting some of the ideas, but visually it is just not remotely It is just Eternals in name only. You can go down the line. Ant-Man doesn't fight fucking Kang the Conqueror by himself. It's Ant-Man in name only. These, you know, the reasons why Ant-Man was so cool is because the ways it was small and blowing it up into that scale, it was, all this shit, it just doesn't play. And, you know, DC, you've got the Authority is going to be introduced into the DC universe before a Justice League is going to be introduced. And I guess they're going to try to set up that the Justice League is going to be formed to stop them, which I guess could be cool. I mean, if they execute it good, I don't know. It all seems rather, I don't know. It all seems rather odd to me. And it certainly isn't the DC comic book universe, which we've all been asking for. Maybe the only place the Authority works as is being introduced early on in things, and this could be a very cool rejiggering of the universe or something. And I don't know. I'm hopeful for that. You know, at the same time, so many of these things, they're all Elseworlds stories. You know, they're adjustments from the thing that the audience has actually been asking for. And when you make these sorts of adjustments, they really have to be great. You know, the Joker was really great, so people were down. Is the second one going to be really great? I don't know. You know, if it is, we'll be down. And ultimately, that's how it goes when you do things that aren't the thing that we were looking to see. You know, there are comic books these are based on, and you know, so many classic stories that people have been waiting to see brought to the big screen, and they just kind of keep doing what they want to do. The Muppets is one that really gets my goat. What is it, Peter Griffin? What gets my goat? The Muppets, in particular, like let's just say they made that show, and I was almost a writer on that show. I spent 5 years trying to get with Bill Beretta, who was the current Muppet captain, and I pitched him on some of my fundamentals in understanding the Muppets and really just how they needed to be approached to get the most out of them. And he was impressed with my take on the Muppets and was trying to get me onto the writing staff, but the Modern Family head writer for Modern Family was brought in to work on the Muppets, and he decreed that it would only be, you know, he was only hiring people he'd worked with before. So all these Muppet specific specialists who are waiting in the wings like myself to come in and have an eye on the property were pushed out. And they did it with these mainstream people who did a couple cardinal sin mistakes. You know, the main one was this. They rewarded Miss Piggy for years of being a bastard. And on some level, it's this great ironic thing that, like, oh, yeah, you know, the bastards are the ones who get, like, promoted to the top. But at the same time, that's not the metaphor. Like, you know, like now everybody's employed or whatever else, like, and underneath Miss Piggy, and it's an abusive situation where they're getting abused by her on the regular because she's in the position of power, and they're doing things that they don't love. And ugh, the reason why we love the Muppets is because they're doing what they love, and they're failing at it spectacularly, and they make us feel better. They're like a nice warm cup of milk. They make us feel better about exploring our own passions, because if Fozzie can get up every night and get heckled by those old men, I can give it a try, you know? And Miss Piggy, though, in particular, she's not hampered by her lack of skill. Well, that too. She has no skill. She has no tact. She's an asshole. She's a pig. She's not just not perfectly figured. She's additionally just pig-headed. She's a jerk. So to reward her with her own talk show, which is like the fundamental freaking basis of the damn The Muppets, them working on Miss Piggy's talk show, is just like, oh my God. You took the worst example of people who should and would fail in life, and you literally went, nope, this person's going to be the one who succeeds. Oh my God. It's like disgusting, honestly. There you go. It's the Muppets in name only. Willow, you know, we had the Willow in name only. I mean, part of that was that we couldn't have Val Kilmer in there and whatnot, but I mean, it's like, it's just I only got to see a little bit of the show, but it was just like, what is this? Who cares about this? And I really liked Willow and I was excited, and it was a bummer. Or Doctor Who, where they go in the last couple seasons and they completely rewrite the history of Doctor Who, that like things that have remained canon and been played upon and built upon for ages, they just go, nah. There's so many bits. Terminator, let's kill Edward Furlong's character right at the beginning of the movie, and have, you know, erase the meaning of all that, and then erase the the need and motivation for Sarah Connor. Like I just watched that movie recently, and it's just so flat. This feels like a nothing burger. A nothing, again, you know, like, who ordered this? You know? You gotta, like, come up with something that is a meal we would like. Not just anything. Or Lord of the Rings. That Rings of Power thing, you know, they've got the Silmarillion, but they don't have rights to the other things. Okay. So, you're gonna make some things real specific to the Silmarillion? No, we're going to just, like, make up a bunch of shit. and like, no, don't worry, our shit's going to be good. Lady Galadriel is going to be, like, a warrior lady. And, you know, there's just so much thematic things that are all wrong about all of these different things. You know, D&D right now, it's like, you know, it's a medieval world, but it's woke now. It's a woke medieval world. They're slowly editing the medievalness of the world from the world. What? Like, that's the whole thing. It's like so stupid. So stupid! Are you a UHF fan? I'm a huge UHF fan. I like Weird Al Yankovic. And if you like music like me, I do a podcast every Monday night called All Your Favorite Bands Suck. Who did I do on Monday? I did Rancid on Monday. I love Rancid. I'm actually going to do, like, I think like 3 weeks of Tim Armstrong-focused music, because he's got so much good shit that I want to do. I'm doing Transplants next week, but I've done Lonely Island and Rage Against the Machine and The Offspring and so many great bands. Anyway, go check it out. It's all like bands that are underappreciated as far as I'm concerned, that I think like more people need to fucking love those bands. Anyway, I mean, it's just, I think you have a responsibility when you put the name of whatever the thing is to get a few things right, and that is the tone and the shape of the thing, and maybe I'll think of another one in a second, but I think maybe those are the two main things: the tone and the shape. The tone, you know, Young Frankenstein has a very specific tone, as an example. You know, it's black and white, and very grounded. Even though it's got like an over-the-top zany humor aesthetic, but it's grounded in its zaniness. If you were to remake, or not remake, or make a sequel to Young Frankenstein, you would want to make it black and white, and you would want to make the humor very grounded but zany. And then you would want the if it was a remake, you would want it to have some similar shape. Feel free to tell whatever new jokes or do whatever you want, but some semblance of the thing, you know, Igor and Dr. Frankenstein and, you know, and his assistant. That trifecta would be important. You know, there's elements from the film, you know, getting the bad guy with the false arm right, you know, those would be the elements that you're like, okay, let's, you know, make sure that we get the shape of those things. Those are classic things and classic moments. We really want to get that scene with the blind man and the scene with the little girl. And, you know, and maybe we'll do a little bit more this time or whatever it might be. But you would get those elements right in a remake. Or if you were bringing it forward, you'd be going, okay, so now what's going on in just the near future after he's become a dancing sensation? Is he still on Broadway? Is he becoming a diva? You know, he's very famous. He doesn't really like it. He wants to go into reclusion, you know, something like that. Or anything else that makes sense, you know, like, but, and then we go, but how do we get the shape of Young Frankenstein? Well, ultimately it's about the people coming for the monsters. Now they're coming for him because he's got money. They're coming for him because they're debt collectors. They're coming for him for other reasons, but it still has the feeling and is getting you the same thing. He's in a loop. He's in a karmic loop. He's learning the same lesson, even deeper this time, and it's you know, and it's groovy. Or he's learning a new lesson on top of the lesson that he previously learned about, you know, why people come after him. Like, there's so many reasons. I need to be a recluse. You know, whatever it might be. But you got to honor the tone and the shape of the thing, and the tone and the shape is just all wrong. On so many levels for so many of these things. You know, the tone of Star Trek, it's too dark, and the shape is inconsistent and ill thought out. A lot of the logic and science that's going on in the freaking new Star Trek shit is insane. The Marvel continuity and backstory is the shape of the world that they're creating is inconsistent, and you know, like they really, it really would have behooved them to just rely on some of the infrastructure that was created in the comics, because it was created that way and recreated that way and adjusted to be the way it was because it was helpful to the stories and whatnot. And now they're making a very, you know, this wibbly wobbly thing for themselves. I tell you, I don't trust the majority of these writers in Hollywood to get the job. They're just not good enough. There are great writers out there, but they're not working in Hollywood at the moment. There are some of them, but. Even the ones that, like, you will see, like, there's a great movie that I just watched or whatever, but a lot of it is, like, you can be very simply, what's the word? You can be, if you're talented but not studied, there's a lot of great, brilliant things that you can make just from the talent. Simple things, simple stories, just if you're talented usually comes from an understanding of the universe a little bit. And the talented people, necessary for this sort of material, we need studied and talented people. Like, if you're talking about somebody's going to come in and they're going to make Ghostbusters, if they're not a big Ghostbusters fan, or at least not a big genre fan, and understand the genre and like how it was laid out, like, you know, like what tone was set, and like you need people who understand how the machine works. Talented people can make all sorts of great things, but they don't necessarily understand existing properties, which are machines. Every single one of them that has ever succeeded on any level, you know, somebody who understands how things work, like myself, you can go in and you can take a look at the thing and you can go, all right, what's working here is this. You know, this is what people are connecting with. You know, when it comes to Star Trek, at the end of the day, what people are connecting with is a positive view of the future. Hope. A hopeful view that mankind is going to get its head out of its ass and get its shit together. And in the future, there's going to be wonderful things. A positive vision for our children. You know, the bang. Zoom. The Muppets. The Muppets are constantly failing, but they never give up. And they give us freaking hope that we can do it too. Done. You know? Like, you can really get to the foundations of so many of these franchises in a sentence. You know, there are other ways in which things get screwed up, deeper within, you know, something like Marvel, as they're just kind of losing years and years of continuity to willy-nilly do it themselves, not realizing, you know, that a lot of these things had already been rewritten and sort of rejiggered into really good positions that allowed stories to be told in proper order. They're just constantly rushing from one thing to another and really, like, not laying out the smaller stories that make the big stories matter. And after doing all the big stuff with Endgame, they should have slowed things down majorly and, like, you know, given us street level stuff and shrank things down and just, you know, had some stuff that was really well written and expanded in a good way on stuff. But the blip really fucked things up. The blip was one of the first things that blew a hole in the Marvel cinematic continuity versus the comics continuity. And I'm sure that that was like a Kevin Feige move of like, this is going to make it mine kind of thing. And the blip is just the worst thing. Having to fucking acknowledge the damn blip is the worst thing, because it just makes every single movie that has to acknowledge the fucking blip less aligned with the comics that we want to see made and feel less like they are the thing that it was earlier. It was a well-adjusted adaptation of one of the greatest stories ever told, and many of the greatest stories ever told, you know, the Infinity Saga, you know, and they skipped over plenty of things and they ended it way too soon. And, like, you know, I really think that Iron Man and Captain, I think everybody should have ultimately survived somehow, or we should have, there should have been a Wrath of Khan, What's the third movie where they, like, revive Spock? Search for Spock? Is it Search for Spock? Star Trek 3. That, I mean, like, that would have been okay. If you wanted to kill him, just, like, then bring Iron Man back and don't age Captain America. And it's just, Captain America's like James Bond, man. There's just, like, so many great stories to tell and so many villains to bring in. And, like, if you smartly did this for a while, if you did 9 Captain America movies and really introduced Crossbones and Sin and the Serpent Society and so just like the wholeness of a Captain America rogues gallery, the wholeness of an Iron Man rogues gallery. I mean, there's a lot of other characters from Whiplash. They're all sort of like, what do you call it? Usually armored villains like Titanium Man and who's the one that I really like? The Soviet Union dude. Is that Titanium? No, it's the green one. I always forget. Whiplash. Not Whiplash. Whirlwind and Living Laser. And there's really a ton, actually, with Iron Man stuff and Melter. And there's each one of them has rogues and like people, and if you get the right actors and stuff and you do a good job on the costumes, you know, these could be memorable people that could then be brought into lift up a Miss Marvel movie when it was time to do that, or lift up a Miles Morales movie, or any of these new characters, because that's helpful. That's how they were lifted up in the comics. And when you just like are introducing them before but part of the reason why you don't kill the bad guy all the time is because you need them back for the next time, and because it's the hero taking a moral stance that's in line with the law and letting the law figure out what the ultimate fate of the people should be, you know, except in the cases where it's the Punisher or characters like that, where them taking the law into their own hands. But it's a great thing when the morality thing plays into it. It's a worthwhile part to keep into play. But I mean, we've just gone completely off the rails for so many different geek culture properties, and it really is Ghostbusters in name only. And you know, there's some aspects of it, I guess, that'll feel a little bit like Ghostbusters, but in general it just feels like something different. And I wish they would have shrank it down to that smaller thing where it could have been, you know, like I said, the Kumanji Nanjiani, I don't know if I said that right, and Paul Rudd, and the new Egon guy, and Ernie Hudson. You know, that could have been cool. And with like Dan Aykroyd acting as their like science officer and the teacher for the kids, and the kids are trying to help, and the kids end up helping save the day. That's fine. Like, that would have been fine. Would have at least felt like a Ghostbusters movie, and have been glad you freaking kids are here. All right, well, think about it, you know, kind of thing, or whatever. Because Ernie Hudson hurts his back, and he's like, yeah, I don't know, maybe there's a spot, you know, and then they give it to Finn Wolfhard because he's older in the next movie, and then he's on the team, and Finn Wolfhard, I don't know, he's not really great though, Finn Wolfhard. That was my one criticism really of the movie. Like, I like the movie, okay, it's just not a Ghostbusters movie, and it's not a great movie, and Finn Wolfhard was just, he was pretty weak. You know, I don't want to like shit on the kid, but I don't know. His performance didn't really, and he didn't necessarily rock my socks off in the last movie either. And he had some things to do in this movie, but I can't say he really like stole the show. The Phoebe chick is, you know, she's solid. Dan Aykroyd was great. Annie Potts was cool. But I mean, it was, a lot of these people were in very short order. There were so many people. They were in very short order, but they were all there in the end, like I said, bunched up into little groups. It was so fucking funny, actually, that thing of them being bunched up into groups. Yeah. Anyway, I am so stoked because I, like, started loading up my phone with coolest picks for weekend episodes, like, because I was just, like, I started thinking about it, and I opened up a can of worms with... the other day I was watching John Carter, and I don't know if you've seen John Carter, should have been John Carter of Mars, but oh man, John Carter is such a fucking good movie, and I'm going to talk about that on one of these coolest picks. I don't know what I'm doing. I think I might do the movie that I just watched last night because it was really good. I'm going to actually record my Saturday show in just a minute. It was called, I forget what it's called. It's called What Happened to Monday, and that was awesome. I think I'm going to do my coolest picks on that, but I've got a long list. Lone Ranger, it's fucking awesome. The Planet of the Apes trilogy, the recent ones that they did, and actually though, I've never watched the original ones. I've heard they're good, so I'm thinking I'm going to watch the original ones, and if I think that they're awesome and I want to talk about them, I think I just might do like a Wednesday episode on that for all of them. And then I'm thinking I'm going to rewatch Everything Everywhere All at Once, because I thought that was fucking phenomenal, and I want to do a coolest pick episode of that. Edge of Tomorrow is the fucking shit. One of the best sci-fi movies ever made, I think. Edge of Tomorrow, fucking awesome. I want to do an episode on that. I think I got to do an episode of Into the Spider-Verse, because I keep running into people who don't watch cartoons, so they've never watched Into the Spider-Verse, the first one. The second one, I think, is weak compared to the first one. The first one is fucking awesome. I mean, just like as a cinematic masterpiece, as like art, moving art, and it's like a comic book come to life. It's fucking awesome. I also really loved They Clone Tyrone, which you know, I saw recently. Jamie Foxx and some other people, John Boyega's in it. I really like that movie. And then additionally, like, you know, some things that I want to talk about maybe on like some Wednesday episodes, In Living Color, Godzilla in general, He-Man in general, and the Masters of the Universe, and Galaxy Quest, which I might just do as a coolest pick, because I guess that was like in like 1999 or something like that or whatever. I've been trying to do all my picks in like the past like 20 years, because I feel like, you know, there's like a certain classics come up over and over and over again, the classics, but all the fucking classics, it's like classics were a long ass time ago. Like, you know, the stuff in the past like 20 years doesn't get covered enough. So things that are really awesome in the past 20 years, especially considering all the shit that we've had in recent years, I think is important. You know, so I'm excited, like, but that's just like my list that I have here that I've been making. And just want to tell you that I really feel dedicated to this, bringing you great shit that you'd really like, you know, every freaking Saturday, and sometimes on the Wednesday episodes as well. Like I said, you know, I did Monty Python on a Wednesday episode, and I did Jim Henson's Career on a Monday episode, and I did Star Trek on a Monday episode, on a Wednesday episode. And so, you know, so sometimes when I have a lot to talk about, you know, I try to these Wednesday episodes, I aim for like an hour, you know, something like that. You know, and it doesn't matter if it's like 45 minutes or if it's an hour and 15 minutes, but like, you know, something like that. But on the Saturday episodes, I try to aim for like 15 minutes, half an hour at the most, and make them just these little reviews of these wonderful stuff, usually just a movie or a season of a show or a season or two of a show. But I've done so many great ones, and now like I've been stacking them up. So, I mean, if you go back, we get into like just like I think there's like a good dozen great recommendations. Like, I mean, like just like thousands and thousands of hours of shit that'll have you laughing and just so glad that you took my recs for this stuff. I mean, like I'm not talking to hear myself speak. I love this stuff so much, and I'm like, it's been such a joy to talk about all the things that I love. And I've said before, when I started doing my All Your Favorite Bands Suck show, which sounds like it's like negative, but it's just a juxtaposition. The show's actually just about all my favorite bands. And I've covered all these bands, and every Monday I was like gushing about these bands that I loved. And I saw very quickly that I was like constantly complaining on the Geek Culture show, like, because everything sucks. Like, not everything though. There's plenty of stuff that's really good. And I just went, you know what? Fuck this. Like I need to at least dedicate half of my show to doing positive stuff, like just focusing on positive stuff. And, you know, instead of doing a review just because something came out and like tearing it apart or whatever, let me only do a review if I really have something to say about it. And let me only focus review type stuff in a positive way, and put a light on the things that I think are awesome. And there's just so many movies and shows now that I've reviewed, and The Gentlemen and Psycho Gorman and Reacher, and there's a bunch. So check them out. And every Saturday, like I said, I'm going to keep doing coolest picks and groovy shit. And occasionally I might sub it out for whatever it might be that I'm feeling, but generally speaking, this is what I'm doing. So, you know, but today I really just wanted to talk about that Ghostbusters. It was Ghostbusters in name only. It's not really Ghostbusters. Though good. Though a good movie. It's a good movie. I was entertained. But, yeah. Lower your expectations accordingly, and you may just enjoy it. Anyway, join me every Monday night for my All Your Favorite Bands Suck Music podcast. Or you can join me every whatever it is. I don't know. I'm going to read my little outer thing so that I can, like, get it going. I'm your passionate geek culture commentator, Jesse Blaze Snyder. You can write to me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com. I love you all so much. I look forward to hearing from you. And anyway, thank you for listening to my show, and I hope you'll join me again next Wednesday and this coming Saturday for another ass-kicking episode of The Coolest Geek Alive. Rock on. Peace. You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening.
It's my favorite part.
Talking some shit.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Living the shit.
My voice
gonna
be fucking awesome.
Food in our mouth.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Cat in our mouth.
It's gonna be
listen
fucking
to the
awesome.
Tell all your friends.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Call right our text.
It's gonna be fucking
star.
Awesome.
Raising the bar.
Awesome. Fucking awesome. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Just wait. You'll see. You'll all see.
You'll all see.
The Podcast Playground.
Hooray!